The sugya I'm going to discuss directly is found in the beginning of the third parak of Kedushin, parak Omer. The Mishnah Daf Nunches is going on to Nuntes and Aleph, and the Maamar comes in front of you. The first page is not very legible, but I will read that which is necessary. So let's just, by way of background to this sugya, which we're going to discuss, the sugya is called the sugya of Ani HaMahachbe Becharara. One of the most famous sugyas in Shas has incredible relevance, Halacha L'maisa, which is what I'm going to focus on in the course of this year. But let's just review the salient points of the Gemara, which we'll read on Daf Nun Chesem Beis and Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph here in Kedushin. And there are really four sugyas that are involved. Each one needs separate treatment, halacha l'maisa. One is called the sugya ma'arufya. That's how Rishonim call that sugya. If I take someone else's clients, someone who has a client, let's say an accountant, and the client now moves over after being with me for 20 years, I'm his accountant, he moves to another accounting firm. And, of course, the circumstances have to be examined carefully. When is it permissible? When is it not permissible? Of course, if he goes on his own, that's not a problem. But we're talking about where I make an effort to draw him away from the present accountant. And that's called the sugya ma'arufya. The second sugya, which is relevant here, is the sugya of yorid le'umnes chavero. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin, da peyalef, in perek ha'nisof, in the ninth perek of Sanhedrin, the Gemara compares Yorid Umnas Chavero to a pasuk where the Navi says in Yecheskel Ves Eshes Re'eu Lo Time. It's talking about Chas V'Shalom, someone who's involved in an illicit relationship with someone else's wife. And the Gemara compares that to Yorid Umnas Chavero. What an analogy. Someone who infringes on someone else's umnas. So we're going to discuss not the first sugya of Ma'arufya, not the second sugya of Yorid Umnas Chavero, but the third sugya, which is Ani HaMahachbe Becharara, which is here on Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph. And then there's a fourth sugya, which I'll mention as well, Ani HaMenachi Brosh HaZayis. That's a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. So let's just approach the sugya here in and of itself, the sugya on Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph, Ani HaMahachbe Becharara. Just overview the Gemara so we should have an idea of what we're referring to. The Mishnah and Daf Nun Chesmim Beis, the Mishnah speaks about a person who tells his chaver, Tzei B'Kadosh Isha Plonis, you're memani him as a shliach, the Gemara says. You appoint a shliach to marry someone for you, and then you decide on the way, the shliach, that he likes that woman. And instead he decides to go ahead and marry her himself. So the Mishnah comments, Mikudeshet, the Kedushin is chal to the shliach. The Kudesh of the Sheni. And the Mishnah then brings several other cases. The Gemara right away comments in the second line from the bottom, Adaf Nun Chesnum Abbeis. The Gemara gives another example, Home of the Chavera. That's the case that the Mishnah began with. But the Mishnah, there are two situations. One is where you appoint a Shliach, and one is where you tell a Chaver. So the Gemara comments, Masha Osa Osui. You actually were able to effectively created Kedushin, Ela Shenag Bo Minig Ramos. This is not considered to be appropriate behavior. And the Gemara then has a discussion on the distinction between the Shech and the Chavir on Daf Samach Nun Tesem and Aleph. And now we're going to start in the Gemara on Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara quotes a series of different vignettes, a series of different stories, all more or less in the same kind of vein, with reference to this concept which the Gemara calls Ani HaMahapech Bacharora. So the Gemara on top of the page on the Testament Aleph, when the Gemara cites this psak that we just saw, that even though the Kedushin is chal, but it's not appropriate. I mean, the language is more than not appropriate. It says, Noag Bo Minig Ramaut. You know, jokingly they say people who are Ramim in Yeshiva, they call them their Noheg Be Miktsoa Shal Ramaut, a Rama Yeshiva. That's a terrible joke. And there is a basis for that joke as well. I'll get to a bit later. But anyway, I'm talking about the basis for the joke is that, unfortunately, this is not also an unusual occurrence where people go ahead and decide that there's a Rebbe, a Ram, a Rosh Hashiva, a Mechanech who is highly successful, very effective with Talmidim, and they decide to go ahead and more or less woo him away. This is Maisim Shebechol Yom. Happens all the day, every single day in my life, for the last 50 years of my life. And sometimes it's done properly, appropriately. Sometimes it is done underhandedly and fashions which are absolutely beneath contempt. And this also is relevant to another issue. I'm involved in this issue as an American yeshiva. And we try to attract students to our yeshiva. Certain kinds of students, we don't expect every student to come to our yeshiva. And then once we have more or less a student within our frame of reference, another yeshiva comes along, American yeshiva, and decides that they're going to attempt to woo him away from our yeshiva. Let's assume he signed a contract. That's one situation. Let's assume he didn't sign a contract, but he paid a down payment. Let's assume none of that took place, but he was more or less in our lap because of the fact that he made a verbal commitment to come, and we spoke to his parents for about 100 hours, and to him about 100 hours, and said, that's what goes on, this is my Yisim Shebechol Yom. I did not engage in any of this, b'shum panav ofen, in my entire life, chas v'shalom, but this has happened to us countless times, not numerous times, but countless times, even more than countless times, and this is an ongoing kind of event. It's unfortunate that other yeshivas, for all kinds of reasons, material reasons, mercantile reasons, commercial reasons, gaiva reasons, ego reasons, reasons that they're lacking basic ethical behavior, they're not, more or less, they're not Jewish, and they're certainly not from, and they're not B'nai Torah. This goes on, kol hayom, kol halayla. We do not do this, we means my yeshiva, b'shum panav ofen, God forbid, rachmanu litzlan, we should get involved in this, and at the same time, we seem to be matzliach, so we don't have to have recourse to all this. I'm just telling you what the minhag ramaut, so that's why the term is used. I used it, I've just does a bit of a milsa de b'dichos, so before we begin the actual Shia. So the Gemara now here on the New Testament Aleph, the Gemara quotes a number of stories. And the Gemara minimally said before I read the stories, Rav Gidol, it's a famous story, that the Gemara says, okay, you want to be Mekadesh that woman, very nice, but at least tell the person that you, shall we say, the one who sent you, he sent you for the purpose of being Mekadesh for him. And let's assume there was some, I assume, interaction between them beforehand. We're not living the Chassidish Shevelt over here. We're not shotgun marriages. We're talking about there were dates that took place and the like, and that's why you sent him as a sheikh to go ahead and be Mekadishar. So tell him, inform him. And the Gemara has, again, different types of histaguyot, namely that for whatever reason the woman refused to marry the individual that she was intended for. She decided the sheikh is better. Okay, so those are the circumstances that we're talking about. Now the Gemara in the middle of the page in the New Testament Aleph quotes the case of Rav Gidol. That's probably the most well-known case in this daf. If you see where I am, it's approximately the middle of the page. In the middle of the text is the Kedusha Itzah. Rav Gidol had Mahapech Bahi Ara. Rav Gidol was involved, and again, we don't. The term Mahapech is a concept which Rishonim have a massive involvement. What does that mean, Hayav Mahapech? Mahapech simply means Hayav Mechazer. Let's translate it that way. Vayyara, he was looking into a certain piece of property to purchase that property. Rashi says, Mechazer Aleh Liknosa. Also, Rav Abba Zabna. And came along Rav Abba, and he bought it instead. He bought that piece of property. Also, Rav Gidol. So Rav Gidol went, when he lost the property, Kiblei, the Rav Zera. The word Kiblei here means Kuvlona. Kuvlona is a complaint. He launched a complaint against to Rav Zera about what was done by this Rav Abba. By the way, this Lashon is found very fascinating. The word Kuf Bet Lamed has many translations. One is the most probably classic translation, Likabel, to receive, to accept. Someone's Mekabel Matana. And then the term also here means, as we see in this context, namely, a language of Kuvlona, which Chazal, by the way, in the days of the Rishonim, I saw this as a young child. Amazing. I don't think it exists anymore today. Rishonim speak about individuals in the community who had an issue with someone, so they had the opportunity to complain about it on Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, before Kriyas HaTorah, they would launch a Kuvlona against the X or Y, and this was done publicly in the concept, in the context of the Beis HaKnesses, and everyone would hear them out, and then they would resolve it before Kriyas HaTorah, otherwise they couldn't get the Kriyas HaTorah. This is a fascinating, there's a whole literature on this topic, and it's called the literature, the Kuvlana literature. People who...
There was a minhag.
Apparently a popular minhag in Gedolei HaRishonim, Zman HaRishonim. I saw it as a little kid in a shul that I davened in many, many years ago, over 60 years ago, and I was astounded by this, but anyway, it comes from the days of the Rishonim. So, and the way, and also the word Kabbalah, of course, is the Gemara Baba Kama, the term Divrei Kabbalah Le'alfinan. Divrei Kabbalah refers to something which is from Tanakh. Why is it called Divrei Kabbalah? Rishonim have a field day of the Shin Kubetz and Baba Kama. Why is it called Divrei Kabbalah? So, either it's called Divrei Kabbalah because essentially, what were the Nevi'im doing? They were launching complaints against Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what they were doing. They had a lot of Musar to say to Klal Yisrael, which they were delegated by Hashem's Baruch to do. Okay, so different translations of the term. I'm just pointing this out, if you don't mind. So, Azra Abgidl Kibli Abzeira. Yes, yes, that's the time to do it, exactly. Another opportunity. That I didn't see. I saw it before Kriyas HaTorah, but that's where it's mentioned. It's mentioned also. Oh, yeah. Rabbi Yasger, Hashem should bless you for your chassidish and the tears. The Litvish Welt, as you know, the Yeshiva Welt, Kolel, Moreno Harav Zatzal, was very opposed to that. Even though I saw myself...
Shiamalad,
yeah. It's a Magen Abraham, it's a chassidish business. Has no shaykhist halacha whatsoever.
It's a
I know, as I said, a chassidish business. Chassidish business. Okay. I that's not about Yeshua really, but I'm telling you, the Magen Avraham is the source of this, and I grew up on it. But Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to it. It's not done the other my yeshivas. At one point in Boston, I was there often in Chedesh Elul, so there were those who complained to the Rav. So he said, okay, if you're so insistent on Shia Malz and Mamakim, so we'll put it in the right by Oz Yoshe. Now, the Rav had also a few other funny things over there. Oz Yashir, sometimes he didn't say Oz Yashir, because we say in the beginning of Baruch Shomar, I'm off the topic. In the beginning of Baruch Shomar, Shirei David Abdecha, we say, we're going to use only Shirei of David HaMelech. Oz Yashir is not David HaMelech, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasha B'Shalach. So the Rav took it out. So they went crazy, the Balabatim, the Rav takes out a Rambam, it's a Klor Rambam. Well, afterwards, correct, and the same thing with the Juan Seishar Malos, that's fine, that's David HaMelech. So that we can include, we can put it there in the Tzuka Dezimra. What used to go on there was absolutely, the term that they used, it was a riot. A riot means it was either hilarious, or it was comical, or it was so wonderful in the sense of the halachic involvement that took place, the entanglements that took place. I always used to be dispelled from it. I was a very young man. I was in my teens.
Was the Rav response to why many oldies have a Yashiru?
He said, the Chassidim took over.
Really?
Vayishri menu shevi. Gemara and Gittin, Gemara Nashalach. Okay, we're off the topic. What?
I've seen it much older than that.
It goes back several hundred years, that's it. That is not correct. It is historically, you'll discuss it with Rabbi Brat. These are the discussions that he and I have all day and all night. Well, you'll discuss it with him. It's several hundred years old, the entire practice. And the Chassidim, they insinuated this into the davening. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just telling you the history behind this entire event. The Litvishe Welt does not do it. By the way, you may have noticed, I only made one change in this entire shul. I have a lot of changes I would make, but I only made one. The change I made was on Rosh Hashanah night that we say the David Mizmor after Kaddish. Rabbi Leonard Zatzal said it before Kaddish. That's the Minhag Olam. Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to that. That's a hefsek. What do you mean hefsek? We have a piyutim from here to Chinatown. All the piyutim. That's not a hefsek. No, that's a tzarech hatfila. Well, David Mizmor, Eilu Zashum Shaychus, even though he said so many shurim of the David Mizmor showing how it's the essence of Malchios. That's basically what David Mizmor is all about. Okay, I'm not. That's not my mandate over here. So you completely took me off the charts. Anyway, Bekitzah, so Rav Gidl, back in Rav Gidl. So Yamahapech, Bayiara, Ozu Rav Abba Zabna, so he bought the property. Rav Gidl complained to Rav Zera, Ozu Rav Zera, Bekivu Rav Yitzchak Napcha. Actually, I'm the source of the problem because I started with the word Kuf Bet Lamed, so I take the blame. Anyway, so Ozu Rav Zera, Bekivu Rav Yitzchak Napcha, Omali Hamtin Echiala Tzenu Leregel. Okay, wait till the regel. Achiyala Etzlein, the Rashi here points out that they used to come. The Hilcha Serego and the Mekabim Pneirav. I was told that this is the makor for the what's coming here in Eretz Yisrael. What?
Visiting the
I'm sorry?
Visit the Rabbein.
No, no, that's another halacha. That's a Kabbalah Bnei Abba Bregel, the Gemara Shoshana, the whole Tumah of the Turei Eben, Shagasayu is relevant today. I'm not talking about that. No, no, no. They come from Chutz Laaretz, Eretz Yisrael. They come several times a year. Because of this halacha, they have it for people in Chutz Laaretz in the summer. They usually have it before in the Ben Azmanim period. Twice in the Ben Azmanim before Pesach, and the Ben Azmanim actually before... what was that? Yachi Kala, yeah. This is the Mokar... This Doshe HaRegel, this is the mark of the Yachi Kala. Okay, I'm not, it's a good thing. Learning Torah is always a good thing, so it doesn't make a difference what the particular excuse is. Kisolik Ashkeche. So then, Rav Abba found him, and then the following question was posed. Omalei, Oni Amad V'charora, Ubo Acher, Unetolo Heimenu Mai. So, again, the problem is the term Mahapech. So Rashi says here, Mechazer Achareho, Liskos Bo Minahefker. I mean, someone is, there's Hefker, and let's say there are a number of people who are now rummaging in the Hefker to see if they can find some Metzias, find some goodies. Oshi, Nenelo Balabais. Well, maybe the Balabais will give it to me. So what's it did? I'm the one who's rummaging away, and someone sees that I found something apparently of value, or something that he likes, and he takes it from me. My, Omale Nikra Russia. What a language. Here it doesn't say Ramoy, or Ramai. It doesn't say he's had to translate Ramai. Someone told me Ramai is translated as an impostor. A crook. Ramaut. Amalei Nikra Rasha. Here the Gemara says much further. It's called a Rasha. In general, this is not a term that should be used lightly. That's the Gemara in Kedushin later on. Now it's supposed to call a person a Rasha, call him an Eved, or another term, Mamzer. It said that the people sometimes when they lose their cool, use this kind of terminology. Anyway, Elamar my time of Hochi, I'm the Rabbi Adana. I didn't know. Poshet, he was an innocent bystander. He didn't do it, Chas v'Shalom, b'Kavana. He just didn't know that someone else was rummaging and looking for the item. Hashtadami Nesin the Elamar. Okay, so now go ahead and give it back to that person who was rummaging. Now that you know about it, give him the karka, because he's the one who's b'chazer acharam. He's the one who was pursuing it, so give it to him. I'm not going to sell it to him. What is this next line? It's the first piece of property. Velo misamna milsa. Rashi says, "Eino simin toiv shiim ka'adam mecha harishon." Now, the Litvak in me, of course, right away, Rabbi Yasko will have no difficulty with this Gemara.
I experienced it.
What?
I experienced it. I thought it was very weird.
Someone told me that this is the reason, the Chabadnik told me, that's the reason why the first dollar they got from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Livracha, they framed it, and they also kept it their entire life because of this Gemara. One of the, there are a few Gemaras. It's not the only one. That it's not a Simon Tov to give away the Lubavitcher Rebbe's dollar that was given to you. It's Lo Misamne Milsa. The first dollar. By the way, many people on the stores, if you haven't gone to stores in Brooklyn, I don't know if I've seen it here, but I don't go too many stores over here. But anyway, in Brooklyn, the first dollar that they are able to receive, because the first piece of merchandise that they sell, they put that dollar up and they frame it. What was that? Correct. That's exactly what it says here in the Gemara. The issue is Mecca Humemka. Don't say any of that. But they base themselves on this Gemara. There are a few other Gemaras also in Shas that they base themselves on. Lomasam the Milsa. Now, Simona Milsa is a sugi in Shas. Who, the Baba Cherevi?
Do that.
You give them $2 and they
okay. Okay, if that's what the Rebbe had in mind, I don't know. Again, I... What?
That's what I did very fast. Give a dollar stuff. They give a dollar.
Okay. Anyway, but Lomasam the Milsa, the Gemara has a sugya. It's a sugya in Shas. Simana Milsi. Simana La Milsi. This is a very famous issue. The issue is, by the way, relevant, of course, to what we do on Leil Rosh Hashanah, which is the Mechab in Shulchan Aruch. Twice in Shas, the Gemara has such an idea. Simana Milsa. The Chayyadim says that the marker for all these Simonim is Ramban Chumash. Famous Ramban Lech Lecha. that the Ramban there talks about what Nevi'im did. Bimei HaTanach, they did all kinds of simonim. Namely, Yirmiyahu HaNavi ties a ribbon to the Tigris Euphrates, and just as the ribbon is going to disintegrate, so too, Chas V'Shalom Chag Yisrael, in the course of time, will, in terms of our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, that will also disintegrate. And Hoshea marries Azona, and v'chula, 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 there are many such examples given in Tanakh. So the Ramban says that all this is a concept which is apparently based on Simon and Milsahi. And of course the Rambam, you can imagine, did not subscribe to any of this. According to the Rambam, this is basically classic voodoo. That's what the Rambam calls it. The Rambam has both in Mer Levuchim, Mishnah Torah, he denies, and essentially, what? I told you the, by the way, I have what to say about this whole topic. There's many, many hours. But the Abba Manel, who serves as the Rambam's lawyer, he's the defense attorney of the Rambam, Keseda. However, when it comes to his position of the Rambam, he throws up his hands in despair and said, I've had enough. I mean, how much of a Litvak could you be? Told him to Asfardi Tor, says the Rambam, how much of a Litvak could you be? Ad kedei kach, that you don't accept Sukim in Tanakh, Vayera al Hashem, Yeloni, Mamre, three Malachim come, and they have tongue together with golden mustard. So the Rambam did not take that in a literal kind of fashion, as against all the Hilchas Malachim that we're familiar with, the disembodied, the incorporeal. And again, the this is classic Rambam all the way. And the Rambam has a lengthy piece where he, as I said, throws up his hands in despair and says to the Rambam, well, at the end of the day, what's the criteria? What is to be accepted literally? What's not to be accepted literally? It's very hard to understand what the Shid Sarambam is, that Litvak, that arch Litvak. The Rambam is a Briska, a classic Briska all the way, even though he's a Fadi Torah. Okay, I continue over here. So anyway, it's not Misam the Milsa to sell it. Iboy b'matana nishkale. What about taking a matana? Rav Gidlo nochasot d'chsib. I told you this way. My Rebbe read this Gemara decades ago. I learned this with a Rebbe in day school. Sheina matana sichya, as opposed to Sony matana sichya. It's quoted by the Rambam Ladoche in Hilchos, but that's why he read it. This Rebbe was a chsidisha, so he read Sheina matana sichya, grade 5. That you should make sure only you get good matanas, nice matanas. I thought that's what the pasuk said till I told my father, and then my father wanted him to be fired, like he wanted to have to rabbi him in that school to be fired for absolutely for this kind of incompetence. They didn't know a pasuk chumash, they didn't know how to read the pasuk in Tanakh. Anyway, sorry, matanas yichya. Now, I'm in the entertainment moment, as you can see. Okay, I continue. Rav Abba lo nochaslam mishum nahapach b'Rav Gidl. So at the end, what happened? Rav Abba did not use this property because Rav Gidl was initially involved in looking for him. Okay, this needs a lot of attention, and I'm sure he discusses it. Okay, that's not my interest in life, but my interest in life is the following, that several items I just want to first point out before we get to the Mar Mekomos. Number one, the Rav Gidl Abba Mahapich Bo. Some effort was put in, and that's the question, what's the nature of the effort that was put in? Was there a price negotiated? That's what the Mordechai writes over here. They came to an agreement on the price. That's how he writes in terms of Rav Gidlo. But no transaction was actually made. And then Rav Abba bought the land. And here we have famous Vachlokas Rashi in the Tam. Probably the most famous Vachlokas in this sugya in Shas. Oni Amahapi Becharora. There are many applications of this din. I'll give you, by the way, another application of this din. I don't know if you agree with this, but this, I told you, has so many broad ramifications. This happens to me. Kol Hayom, Kol Halayla. Namely, I'm about to go into a parking spot. I mean, basically, I'm maneuvering into that spot. Someone sees myself maneuvering. I'm not as deft as he is as a driver. He's a more deft kind of driver. And before I know it, he simply, shall we say, glides into the spot. He took the spot away from me. Is that a violation of this halacha? Of oni hamahape b'harora? Means what's the gedder advarim when it comes to a parking spot. So Rashi here says, the oni sees the harora shel hefker. So Rashi Lutz is talking about Hefker, and you are trying to, as I said the term earlier, rummaging. You're attempting to acquire this, and someone else takes it from you. Rabbi Natan is cholik on this. He disagrees with you. So Mahapech means, according to Rashi, and the Prisha, I'll read this in a few moments, so the Prisha here in Shogodah quotes the Mordechai, that, again, if they did not yet agree on a certain price, they're just negotiating, someone else comes and buys the property. So that's a question. What about the seller? The seller is not over on a direct isur. because he's not really directly involved. But again, Rashi gives two examples. Either Rashi says hefker, or she'ineno balabayis. Means balabayis gives him matana, and the oni is mishtadel to be masig this matana, and then comes another oni and takes it from him. That's where Rashi has one or two explanations. But here, as I said, I will read to you in a moment some of the Rishonim. But Rashi said that you're considered to be a Rasha. You're yore the toch chayi chavero. You basically went and infringed or impinged on the life of your friend. The Ran here quotes the Ramban. The Ran says that this is not relevant to a wealthy person, because a wealthy person has plenty of access to all kinds of chararot. He has access to all different types of things that the average person... Okay, but say, it's not mufurish. Nothing is mufurish. In the sugya, Rishonim have many possibilities that they explore. I mean, we're talking about, as I said, a specific piece of karka, so that also is relevant to the Ashur too. Ashur also wants a specific piece of property. For whatever reason, he desires other property. That's what the Chashem Ishbad discusses over here. I'll read in a few moments that Tamachazer, someone again, is the Chazer Achadav of the Knoso, and the Sma says over there, Umachrizin alabar sakneseh she'osa maiseh rosha kozeh. That's what I mentioned earlier. You announce publicly in shul that he did this act of rishus, that he acted inappropriately. There's no chiyuv mamon over here. It's not a monetary issue which would be obligate you to pay. And that's what they asked Rav Abba to return the karka, because Rav Abba was apparently, let's say, midas chassidus. By the way, a number of the stories here involve the individuals that the Gemara calls them chassida. Very striking. The Gemara calls him chassidim. But then, I don't know how you translate the word chassid. Chassid does not mean someone with long pears and a long black coat, no. Chassid means someone, basically, everything he does within Mishur Sadin. I think I mentioned that when I was in Boston, once in the late 60s, after Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal set up the shiur in Brisk in Chicago, so Rabban Soloveitchik set a shiur to 200 Rabbanim. I was present among the Rabbanim to raise money for Brisk in Chicago. And then he described his brother. He says that he signs his smicha klaf, Yosef Dov. I wrote this in the sefer. Yosef Dov ben Morin Hagoyin Achosid Moshe Alevi Salavetchik Zetzuka La La La. So the Rav said the shiur was in Yiddish. He said Morin is Nishdo. My father is given the motor. Morin. My father was Morin. Goin Dov is my brother. That's my brother. We thought he was referring to Avraham Salavetchik, who was sitting right next to him. No, my brother, the professor of chemistry, is Gemara Goin. He was a Goin. The Rav said Chosid Dov is Rabban. Rabban, he says, is a Chosid. Everything he does in his life is lefnim b'shura sadim. That's what he said about his brother, Rav Soloveitchik, about his brother, Abraham Halevi Soloveitchik. It's very true. I'll just give you one example, because someone asked me the other day about it. Namely, that he waited, Rav Soloveitchik waited up at the time on Matzei Shabbos. Most people wait 72 minutes, those who wait. The Rav waited 90 minutes, and then Abraham Soloveitchik had cheshuvim and cheshbonot. He waited 110 minutes. I heard this from some of his children. From his grandchildren, all kinds of different calculations. Everything he did was limitless. I did, besides the yosha that he held in the United States and examining agricultural charts to figure what's yosha and what's chadosh, etc., etc. And I can give you 20 other chumras that he had about salvation that are mind-boggling, literally mind-boggling. Anyway, so I'm only saying this because what exactly is the isur of Oni HaMahapech, the Charora? Is that an isur daraisa? Is it an isur darabonon? How would you offhand the chura when you read the Gemara? What would you say? What's the Issa? Pashto says an Issa d'Rabbanan. I don't think anyone here is going to say that you have an Issa d'Araisa. So why am I a Rasha? What? Unquestionably. I'm not denying all that, but I'm asking, is there an Issa d'Araisa? I'm asking to the Bitl HaSeh. Not just...
The word Ani doesn't necessarily mean a poor person doesn't have...
socioeconomically. Yeah, I'm asking.
Someone has a need.
I agree. So here I am, I'm asking to you, even though that's a rare occurrence, but so I'm asking to you that that's what ani means over here. Mishesh has a tzarech mesuyam, as opposed to socioeconomic kind of ani. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. Now, I just want to mention here also, kimad across the board, I saw in the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, you don't have it yet, I didn't get to the Rambam Kamsi, I'll get to it momentarily. But in the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, he says clearly it's an Issa d'Rabbanan. I have the Tshuva in front of me. He quotes actually the Marit in Kedushim. The only problem is the Marit Estakashia, the Marit in his parish on Kedushim, I saw, he asked, why the Chacham call him a Rasha? Call him an Avaryon. call it Misha Ova Adi V'chachamim. Use a different language. The term Russia, B'derech Klal, a Russia in Halacha is Misha Ova Al Isa Daraisa. Keep that throughout Shas. Russia the Chomas is someone who's over the Isa Daraisa. A Gazlan. A Russia the Chomas is a Isa Daraisa. What is the Russian? Russia. So, Mechsam Sober, the Marit, they argue that Yorid Lumnus Chavero and Mahabib Bechavara are more or less on the same level. Yorid Lumnus Chavero, I told you the Gemara said, I didn't pay out. The Gemara says, quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, the Navi says that Ves Eishes Re'eu Timei Zeha Yorid Lumnus Chavero. That's a pasuk in Dibri Kabbalah. So Rishon here write, Kimat Pe'echon. Taisa says it, and other Rishonim say that it's awesome in Dibri Kabbalah. And yet, it's still called, apparently, a Russia. That term is used, and a Russia, of course, means that the Marsham and others say that they would be Pasul Eidos, because that's the din of a Russia, Pasul Eidos. Okay, so I'm just pointing out that there's a very important here machlokes between Rashi and Tesis, and that's what we began with. That's what I want to go into a little bit further. And the issue is, are we talking about Hefker? Oh no, we're talking about Mechira and Schiris. Look in the Tesis. This Tesis, I'm sure you're familiar with. I'll read parts of it. On Daf Nun Tesamad Aleph. Oni Amahabi Becharo, Boachia, and Nitola, Pierce Pekunches, Tamari Becharo, Shel Hefke, Bekoshe. The other Snam Shnai Merchsin, Ruas Amitzia, Vinofalo Aleo, Oshapir, Taliso Aleo, Boachia, and Nitola, Arei Shalom. Vchein Hadikoma Hossam, Mishelike Mitzas Peya, Pierce Taliso Aleo, Mavir no soimen of Yamai, Oni Mabi Becharo. Why do these cases not constitute a violation of Oni Mabi Becharo? The only Rabbi the time the Isu the Mahapich Nokat Hochal of Shaykh Aladavka, Sherotsehoni Labiach Bischirus, only under those circumstances, where there's going to be some Rebach regarding Schirus, or Sherotseliknos Dova Acher, the Chavero Makdim Bekone. I want to purchase. He says, I'm looking to purchase something else, and he comes and jumps the gun. Rabidum de Rabgidl, Mishimok Kama Niko Rasha, Kilama Mechazer Alzo Shetarach Bachavero. Why do I have to go and literally enter a domain where he already is there? He's already involved. And he goes further, Mishimok Kama Niko Rasha, Yelech Yistaka Bimokam Acher. Let him go elsewhere, let him ply his wares in another domain, another area.
Any version of real estate will not be the case.
Okay. The question is, why is he called a Russia? Why is that an act of Rishus?
Because it's needless. It's no point.
Rishus. We're not talking about Avarian, as I said, Evel Divi Chachamim. The Lashon of Russia. Very, very strong language.
It seems that Russia has done something which is bad with no real gain.
Listen, you're presenting Rabbi Munitz all kinds of wonderful definitions. I don't think they fit into the category of Russia. Russia is generally in Chazal. Russia, we're talking about Isurim Daraisa. What's the Isurim Daraisa? I agree, I did something which is not ethical, not nice, and the way you described it a moment ago, but that constitutes Rishus?
Would this be considered Gezel?
It is a form of, it's not Gezel actually, because Gezel is only when you have an item that's yours. And I steal it from you. That's called a Maisik Zela. Not a Maisik Zela here. You were rummaging. You did not yet have control. You didn't have a kinyan on the item. That's what Rishonim are trying to figure out. What kind of hold do you have on this? Was there a price negotiated? Was there whatever? In the case of not, I'm talking about not Hefker, but Schiris and Mechel Memker. So that's what they're trying to figure out. At what stage are you? But it's not an act of Gezel. Gezel is when I literally go into your property and take something that belongs to you, that's clearly yours. The Gemara says, Chazoka, Koma Shatachas Yodu Shalom Shalohu, whatever is under your thumb is considered to be yours. This is not exactly under your thumb. You are Mahapech. You're involved in the process of trying to acquire it, but you don't yet have it. So that's what Tesis writes further, that he says, you should go elsewhere. Aval im hoisach harorah dehefker, leka yisur. Let's say it's Hefker. There's no one has any hold on it, then there's no problem. Why? If you don't get this, so you're not going to find something else. But he has a kasha from the famous Gemara in Bar Basra. And this is where all the issues come up. Namely, the Gemara says, Marchikim and Adam. You have a whole bunch of fishermen who are casting their nets for the purpose of catching fish. So you're supposed to remain a certain distance from each fisherman. Each fisherman has bait. Each fisherman obviously puts out whatever they use as bait in order to catch fish. So you're supposed to be marching min adag timlo mitzvah sadag. Obviously, you shall hefker. So even though they're talking about hefker, so why should that be based on what we said now? But here, the hasam any time they shu yori lumnuso, because that's considered to be impinging or infringing on his umnus. Ki ahi dikama hasam hai bar mevoah. This is the most famous gemara in Bava Basra Chaval from the base. Bar mevoah, people of the same mavui. Someone said, so by the way, in Toronto, when I lived in Toronto, Canada, there were many, many, in the years I was there, there were many restaurants. Every Dalai in one area, another restaurant opened up. So that L'chura sounds like at least Hasogas Gvul, or it sounds like that some sort of, shall we say, people undermining each other. They said, no, this is French Moroccan cuisine. This is Spanish cuisine. This is Ashkenazic cuisine. That's what each
one. It's exactly the same. But just
at the end, all of them closed down. No one was able to sustain a restaurant because they were literally killing each other. It was fierce and ferocious. Today in Toronto, where there are many, many more people living there, many more Yidden who moved there in the last 30 years since I came, and there are no restaurants. So when I was there, there was a restaurant for every single night. You'd be able to go out on town and have a different cuisine and gastronomic delights writ large, etc., etc. That's what Chutz Lartz is all about. Anyway, so, but that was the issue. And each one was taking the other to a Din Torah. I sat in a Chashamish Pabezin of Akshlita, and that's what we handled, Kalayomu Kalayla. And then the longest was that, no, that's not, I offer a certain kind of, shall we say, cuisine that's unique, that's distinctive. They don't offer French, Moroccan, Casablanca kind of food, etc., etc., and on and on. This is just to go on. I remember I said to Rabbi Ax, maybe we should be towing. Let us at least taste each of the food items so we should have some idea exactly. I'm just being cute. Again, but that's not what he had in mind. Anyway, the kid says, so Tesla goes on to say, quote second tomorrow, that Yoradum Nusuke, he become awesome, high bar mabo, duki, high bus, bar mabo, vuki, bad day, mothi, akubi, ale, the come, ale, the kapasakta, the chisoy, most famous words in Shas. You have basically taken my panasa. You have undermined, you have clearly negated my panasa. And the question is, what's the gather advar? The old Om Rabbin Meir, Aviv Shel, Rabbin Etam. The Mairi Bedag Mes. Shekain Derech Adarim Lahasim Bimtunos Dag Mes. What they do is they put dead fish in front of the net. And this way it's going to attract other fish, hopefully. They'll come to eat those dead fish. What did I do? I cast my net. I put my net first. All the fish are now gathering around my net. What you said, Adir. It would be an act of gezel, because I cast my net, and it has in it bait, and the fish are all gathered around that net in order to be caught, to be ensnared in my web, in my net, and now someone else comes along, that's an act of gezel. Go elsewhere. You know, what are you doing over here? Why are you dafka trespassing in my area, which you don't obviously have a right to do so? Okay, so now I want to go and, if you don't mind, examine. I'm going to read, actually, because it's hard to read a little bit. Some of them are mekomos, at least on page number one. It's a little difficult to read, so I will try to read it for you in the lashon of the Rambam over here. What's an isla raisa? Hasogas gvul. Right. That's a separate discussion that needs a lot of discussion. I have many, many halacha lemaisa situations which are relevant to Hasogas gvul. I mean, the one I told you just now in Toronto, that was the issue they came. They came from Hasogas gvul. The guys within Dalai Lama's, they were all in the same area, all the restaurants. There were 15 restaurants in an area of a block and a half. By the way, the Chazon Ish, in the same Emunah Bitochon.
I'm stuck on that point. Why is it bad? You have a restaurant district. Why is that bad?
It was a restaurant district, but each one undermined the other. There are only X number of people going to restaurants.
Did only you try to undermine, like, Alsama Pizza for cheaper?
Well, that's also a relevant issue, where a person lowers the price. And that's
bad.
The question. What's the status of that as well? And that's all discussion. The Poskim. All these are discussed by the Poskim. What's considered to be, let's say, I lower the price by, it's not an insignificant amount, that's something else, but let's say it's insignificant. The price is low. And yet people are willing to save a dime and they'll run quickly to the other place. And or I woo people. This is Gemara. Gemara is all over Shas. I woo young children by giving them candies and they come into the store. I'm available. Their parents come into the store. All these kinds of games that people do, call Yom Kala. That's what people who are in business do. And that's what the question is, what is permissible, what's not permissible. You know, I was going to tell you, the Rav told over from Rabbi Sol Salant. Once or twice he quoted Rabbi Sol Salant. So when we learned HaPerek HaSeiches Umnin, the Rav at the beginning of the Perek told the following story, that the Sheikh came to Rabbi Sol Salant, complained to him that his situation was just out of control. He had to be, the Shechita is not an easy malacha to be involved in, and also doing all the bedikas that he had to do, carefully examining everything in a proper kind of way, bedikas sareya, and besides that, he was someone that the kesef of shechita was of a slow nature, so it should be done in a proper kind of way, and beyond that, he examined every tzemes hagidin, he wasn't tzemechan chazokas, not tzemechan rov, and all that, which is why the difference between, quote-unquote, I won't mention any names, shechita of Rav X, and Shechita Rav Y, three times the price because of these items that I mentioned to you. I've been to many abattoirs in the last 29 years of my life over here. I've been to tons of abattoirs, not tons, but umpteen abattoirs. And as a result, I see the difference between Shechita X and Shechita Y. It's like a Kirchhoek Mizrach and Mariah. It's between the day and night. I'm not exaggerating. And one is one third of the price, and one is three times the price. And the reason is because of what I just told you. Anyway, so. This is relevant, as I said, also in terms of this issue. So he came to Rabbi Sol Salon and said, Maspik, I had enough. So Rabbi Sol Salon said, what do you want to do? I want to become a businessman. So he said to him, businessman. He said, I assume you probably learned Chashem Mishpat. You probably went through all of Chashem Mishpat and are familiar with all the highways and byways of Chashem Mishpat. He said, no. So then he started telling him all the different situations where one could be nichshal, one could be ensnared in the area of Chashem Mishpat. And he said, so basically, he threw up his hands in despair. And the question is, which one is worse? Chashem Mishpat or Yerodeah, as far as Yisuf Het is concerned, or Chashem Mishpat? It's not so pashut at all. Okay, so here, what I want to do is I want to go through, in this, Ani Amahab B'Charorah, there's a, we'll first start with Reish Lamed Zayin here. What was that? Right, I didn't answer the question, as you may have noticed. The question is a very, very valid question. Rasha generally is a Rasha D'Raisa. Here there's no Issa D'Raisa. The Rishonim say Divrei Kabbalah. We're talking about a Tanakh issue. We're talking about the Rabbanon issue. It's not an Issa D'Raisa. Why is he called a Rasha? Why such a language? Is it? Do you want to give an answer? I'll be chassidus. I know I'm waiting for it.
No, I'm just asking if Yorid is built on a solid book, then why is it?
Let's say that. That's okay. We have to examine each of these items. I told you there are four Yisurim here. And we're only examining one. Ani Amahabi B'Chavar. I'm not discussing Yorid Umnus Chavar. I'm not discussing Marufya. I'm not discussing Ani Amnaki Brosh Hazayis. I'll get to that in a little bit. But each one has to be examined separately. I have Shurim on all these things. I looked at Chashem Mishpat years and years ago. Anyway, I'm just here on the first page of this handout, Reish Lamed Zayin. I'll don't even bother trying to read it. In the Mechabi, you probably could read. Just the Ramo is difficult. The Ramo is the print is slightly, I'm sorry, hieroglyphics. Actually, I'm not responsible. Someone did it for me. So I have to be honest. I can't take the blame totally. And then the Ramah quotes Rabbi Natan. And then the Yeshomim quotes Rashi. The Yeshomim says, if it's an issue of Hefker, and I'm rummaging in Hefker, and then someone comes and jumps the gun, I'm not called a Rasha. Kevin she'enu hadava matzilav v'makam acher. That's in the Tam Shita. Since it's not so readily available elsewhere, you're not called a Rasha. V'yeshomim delo shna. This is a Shita of Rashi. This is a Mechabit calls two opinions. And the guidelines are for the Machlokes. If it's matzil v'makam acher, if it's found elsewhere, then it's tantamount to what the Rabbi Natam calls mecher and schirus. It's tantamount to schirus or mecher. If you don't get this, you can get something else. The Ramah now comes, and the Ramah you can't read, but the Ramah says, no, not only Hefker and Matana, but he says, HaKol Mekarka B'Meitzar Chavero. This already is the din of Bar Metzra, which the Gemara says is based on Vasis HaYashav HaTov. If there's property available, and it's adjacent to my property, and I want to purchase it, and someone else wants to purchase it, but he's elsewhere, so I get a first dibs on that property because of the din of Vasis HaYashav HaTov. It's Amban, Nechumish, and also Chedush Ramban, Barichas discusses the Ramban, beginning in Kedoshim Tiyu. That's a famous Ramban. Novel Shus HaTeyo also has reference to this halacha of Yasisa Yosher Vatov, that one should do that which is correct, that which is appropriate. And then he writes over here the Ramah. He says that Vakone Karka Vemetzah Haver, Abish Dein Dino de Bametzra, Yochel Bametzah Likodmo, Viliknoso, Vilo Mikri Russia. Because you're the neighbor, and you're not able to acquire this kind of property elsewhere. You have land next to this property, and you want to acquire this piece of property to enhance your value. So the halacha is that for you, the property is invaluable. You can't say to me, go buy a piece of land elsewhere. A piece of land elsewhere will not have the same kind of value, and this piece of land is contiguous to mine, and that's the din of bar mitzvah. So there, the Rama says again, that's defined as hefker matana. There's no din of ani amabich abroga according to Aminatah. The halacha does not apply, that's what the Rama says here. Of course, according to Rashi, it doesn't make a difference. Rashi holds there's no distinction. According to Rashi, even by Hefker Matana, where you wouldn't be able to get it elsewhere, there's still a din of Ani Abahabach, and you call it Russia. Comes to Ramah and says here, as I said, he adds over here, I'm reading the Ramah, you can't see the language, I'm going to go to page 2, you can't see it shortly. But here on page 1, he says, V'cheinim kone dobar echad, u'bach haver v'yuchal gnoso b'zol, she'enam otzi l'gnoso kach b'mokam achim. I mean, the deal is so good, you cannot possibly find such a deal elsewhere. For the price that is being offered, it's such a cheap price. So the Rambam says it's like a mitzia. As long as the first buyer has not completed the kinyan and the price is so good, if a second buyer comes along, it's a steal. There's no din of ani amet mehabir charora. That's tantamount to hefka. That's what the Rambam here writes on page number 1. Now on page number 3,
how subjective is it?
Okay, it seems to be quite subjective, if you ask me. At least what I can see so far. Now look on page 3. There's a pischei chayshem. This is the sefer, a series of svarim. Yishul has it actually, by Abloy. Abloy is a dayan in the Meir Sharim, an absolute gon adir. So here he brings where the arrow is. I have a number of arrows. He quotes from Mishpat Shalom, the Kuntzus Tikkun Olam. You see what I'm reading? B'shem Marik, the Davka Berebach Kabir. This is what Rabbi Muniz said. They're trying to establish. I'm not even sure he is sufficiently clear. He says only if there's a Rebach Kabir. What's a Rebach Kabir?
A huge amount,
again, it's not defined. A huge gain. If it's not such a monumental...
Is it for someone to get it else involved in someone else's attempted business?
Right. But I'm saying that it's, even this, again, is not so clear in terms of what exactly... I mean, it has to be an enormous profit or a tremendously cheap price that you can't find elsewhere. If it's a few dollars cheaper, that's not cool. That's not would be relevant. And the second arrow on the bottom of the page, he really tries to deal with a more applicable situation, even today, because the Maisa we pass on the time. We pass in that only Amahab B'Charora doesn't apply by Metzia and Hefka, only applies by Mecha and Schiris, that's the Psak Halacha and Shulonach. And that's what he talks on the bottom. The Yesh Lodin Bizmanenu, do you see the language? Welcome to Eretz Yisrael. Welcome to our, shall we say, our sphere. And you can't find property. It looks like that when you're examining different types of property. And it looks like this one is better, cheaper. Wow, what a statement. So relevant. And it obviously involves major effort to look for an apartment. So Divi Marshal, Efsha Shay Sladin Lahokyo. Omal Dasa Marik Vasheris Yelsin Nira Shane Lahokabazi, I'll call upon him with the Evan, Efsha Shane Nikra Russia. Bitsorachi Lemaise. We'll be proud of Das Rashi. You got me Mitzia, Nikra Russia. I mean, there's a tremendous buy on a house. And they come, let's say they come to an agreement, but the Kenyan was not made yet. This happens. This is my Simcha B'chol Yom over here. I deal with this call Yom call Laila. I don't see it anymore in a Chashem Mishma Bezdin.
Contract was not signed.
What?
Contract was not signed.
Correct. Contract was not signed, but it's clear that...
meeting of the minds.
That's right. There was a meeting of the minds. There was an enormous amount of... I'm involved in this all day and all night, but I don't see it in a Chashem Mishma Bezdin. And I'll tell you, Dayan Yochid, and I'm not involved, and I want to be involved, and leave me alone, and I'm not... I can't get involved because it's just... A springboard for creating enemies. That's all you have, basically, over here. And to find another house like this would be a tremendous tircha. So here the Mashal says, he quotes the Pischei Chayshin, Tzadim Lahokyam. If you have to undergo a lot of tircha to find such a house, it's like metziah, it's like hefker. No din of ani am habi b'charara. It would not be applicable. Doesn't apply. It's like metziah or hefker. And the Ma'arik says over here that even if you have an area, if you have to expend a lot of effort to find another deal like this, they hold it's not like metziah and hefker. You'll find it, and there is a din of ani am habi b'charara. Okay, so basically, as I said, that here we have. At the end of the Ramah, on page 1, I just want to read one more Ramah, the bottom line, you can't see it either, but I'm reading it for you. That's what Rabbi Muniz mentioned, only where they actually agreed on a price. There's an agreement on a price, and only the Kenyan is lacking. They only did not sign on the dotted line. That's the only thing that's lacking. But everything else is in place. But if they didn't agree on the price, says the Ramah, mutar la'acher liknoso. And as according to the Ramah, there has to be an agreement on the price. And only then was this halacha applicable. If there's no agreement on the price, the halacha is not applicable. Look on page number 4.
It's the phrase Mahabad Bakhalara, it's taking it away from it. He was trying to do it.
Okay, but the question, what does that mean? So on page number 4, there's a pre-shah. So the pre-shah, which is the Ramah, on the lower left-hand corner, I'm not going to read it inside, but basically the pre-shah disagrees. Ramah is based on a Mordechai. They sell on a price, and someone else came along and grabs it away from the first buyer. The preacher disagrees. He says, the Minhag HaOlam, says the preacher, I underlined it, the four lines, if you can read it, more or less you should be able to read it. The preacher writes over here, the Minhag HaOlam, if they're negotiating on a price, and they're not far from an agreement, and someone else comes along and grabs it, that's called Ani Am Habib B'Charad. I mean, they're still involved in the discussion, they're still back and forth. It doesn't have to be a finalized price. Even if they're in the middle of serious negotiations, that's called Oni Am Habi B'Charora. But if there's a final offer of the Lokeach, and the fact that, and he tells him, take it or leave it. And the guy says, okay, I'm leaving it. I don't want it. He walks out. Another buyer comes along. So again, if there's a break in negotiations, says the pre-shah, there's no din of Oni Am Habi B'Charora. But as long as they're still negotiating the price, that's called the din of Ani Abba Haron. There's machlokes haposkim where there has to be a final price, or even if there's bickering going on, and dickering going on, and negotiations going on, that's still considered to be together of Ani Abba Haron. So machlokes the Ramah, the pre-shah, very famous, famous machlokes. It was in broad terms, and that's what you said before. It's a kind of hasagas gvul. In broader terms, even with negotiations, I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan, he agrees with the pre-shah. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, as long as it's still in the process of negotiations, even though there's no final price that came to, it's an issue of Ani Am Habi B'Charora. This is Maisim Shevachol Yom.
Bidding war will be a
ritual. From an auction.
Not auctioning. That's normal.
I'm willing to give
you
the best price.
There's never been an auction in a bidding war.
Right, I think so also. We're talking here about bidding for a house. And people are involved in negotiations, and obviously everyone wants a higher price. And but one person is heavily involved, more so, let's say, than others. And they haven't yet agreed on a final price, but it's clear that he's trying to come to an emek hashoveh. That's what he's talking about, the pre-shah. That's against the Ramah. Ramah says, no, only if there's a final price that was set and concretized is this halacha applicable. And the pre-shah says, not like that. The Aruch HaShulchan is convinced that the pre-shah is correct. He said that the pre-shah's position, which is seems to be a logical position. Someone is pursuing a piece of property and they're discussing with the mocher what the price is going to be, and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So that's already considered to be. Soon, if someone else comes, that's an Ani Am Habi B'Charora. One person is the one who's vying for it. Right, someone else comes. I mean, essentially. Okay, let me just point out that this is also relevant to another issue, which is the famous Mishnah in Gittin. On the next page, page number 5, the Mishnah Hanizokin. The Mishnah has the Hanizokin. In Perek Hanizokin, on page number 5, the Mishnah has Oni Hamanake Rosh HaZayis. This is also another situation where an Oni, he climbs a tree in order to obtain olives. And he's busy knocking the olives off the tree. He's on top there, on the scaffolding, knocking the olives off the tree. And then the olives fall down to the ground. And then he expects, of course, now I'm going to climb down the ladder or climb down the tree and obviously get the olives that I clearly was matriach myself to go ahead and knock off. And in the, of course, in the interim, so the Mishnah says, someone comes along and gathers all the olives. That's the Mishnah of Daflun Tesvim Beis. This whole Mishnah is a famous Mishnah of Mishum Darkei Sholem. I think I said over once, I did, I'm fairly certain, that this is a, there's a series of Mishnahis that Mevakrin, Choli Yisrael, Choli Akam, Mishum Darkei Sholem. I mentioned I once followed Rabbi Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, in Boston. I saw he was going to the hospital. Rabbi Baum, he was traveling to the hospital. I decided to see exactly what is going to go on over there. So Chavri and I, we got into a car and followed his car to the hospital, to Mass General. And in Mass General, the Rav, clearly the car was parked, and we parked our car as well. And we simply followed the Rav upstairs with his, it was accompanied by, I think, two mashbakim, if I can use that terminology, two shamoshim, two gaboyim. And the Rav goes upstairs, we go upstairs as well. And before I knew it, the Rav is in a very massive ward. I guess it was the size of this room. There must have been 50 cholim in that ward. Again, they were separated by curtains. It was not exactly the ideal kind of setting. And I thought our salvation was going to go straight, I assumed, to the Jewish patient that he was visiting. He did not do so. There was, first of all, an announcement in the hospital over the mic that there's a very famous personality, a famous clergyman who's now in the hospital. That's what they announced. They couldn't even pronounce his name properly. That's the part I got the best kick out of. And I don't know if that's the reason why the Rav did what he did. The Rav then visited every single patient in that ward. Most of them were goyim. How do I know? Because there was only one wearing a kippah, and the Rav came to him at the end. And then I was astounded. What in heaven's name? Does he know all these patients? So he's familiar with them. And then the Mashbak told me later on, Tamishna. That was the basis. I think he spent most of the time with the Jewish patient. The other people, he just said Shalom Aleichem to them and probably wished them well. I couldn't get that close because I thought it was a little bit of the stalking was a little bit too much. But I
space.
What was that? Give him some space, of course. Anyway, Bikitzer, this Mishnah in Gittin is different than the din of Ani Amahavi V'Charora. It's a din of Alocha. Oni Hamanake Berosh Hazayis. It's a completely different halacha. And he writes that the Mishnah says, Mashetachtav Gezel, Mishum Darkei Sholem. There's a Gezel Rabbanon. There's not a Gezel Daraisa, a Gezel Rabbanon. For he put in much effort, clambering up the tree, but he didn't have it in his hands. He just knocked it off the tree, and in order to be able to ultimately, once he climbs down the ladder or climbs up the tree, then he'll have access to it. That would be a kinyan. Then it'll be his. That would be Gezel Min HaTorah. Once I have it in my hands, that's Gezel Daraisa. That's how we generally paskin. But here, the tremendous tircha that was involved, and somehow this is more chomor than Ani Amahapech. There he's called the Rasha, but it's not Gezel. And here it's Gezel Darabonim, Mishum Darkei Sholem. You see the distinction? What was that? Akasha, what exactly his position is. Exactly. He calls it Gezel Gomer. Yeah, Gezel Gomer. But it's only an Isur Gezel with no real monetary claim on it. Some Paskim say, actually, for example, what's the din when the Nafkimina, the Gabi Rasha, by Ani Amav Harora, he's Pasul Eidus. He can't testify in the Jewish court of law. Rasha the Chumas is Pasul Eidus. He can't testify. So that's already considerably more Chomer. So again, I'm just trying to show you.
Why would Rashi.
Rashi here?
No, Rashi says it's defined by Hector.
Right, that's what Rashi says.
So why would Rashi say that this case of Ani Hamanaki approach
is different than the case of Somehow there's a Yesh Lechalik. What the chil is, that needs attention. What exactly is the distinction between the two? That's a valid question. What's the difference between Ani Hamanaki approach Hagai in the case of the Gemara Kedushin? But there seems to be a hierarchy. I mean, the lowest Madrega is Ani Hamanaki Charoa. That's what holds Rashi in Abinatam. But does apply to Hefker or only to Mechira and Tzchiras? The second level of Ani Amahab Echivisum, that's only Mechira and Tzchiras. Here everyone agrees that he has a status of a Rasha. The third level is here. This Mishnah in Gittin, Nantes, of Ani Amahab Rosh Hazayis, because I would imagine, I'm saying Balabatish now, Dr. Feiner, you put in a lot of effort. Because of all the Tircha that's involved over here, the physical tircha that's involved. The fourth level, I assume, is Yeridum Nishavera. That's the fourth in the category. When you categorize these Yisurim, yeah, you're ruining someone else's business. And the Chassam Sofer says, the Chassam Sofer writes, if you ruin someone else's business, you put him out of business, that'll be Nisa Daraisa. On page number 6, for example, see here, in the, look at page number 6. So here you have actually a quotation I took from the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal. Marshal's a long arichas over here. He's worried about your issue. Namely, Oni Amanak Rosh Hazayis.
Where are we?
Where? Where have I underlined? Yeah, did you notice underlining?
Yes, where are we starting?
We can start from the beginning. But I don't want to read the whole thing because it'll be the rest of the year. So I'll just summarizing a few that he writes over here in Oni Amanakim Rosh Hazayis that, again, in order to be in that category, there has to be a lot of tircha. That's what he writes over here in line number 6 or 7. Oh, you want to read the first few lines of the minute since you like to read everything inside. Osias Machimos. He says, Hashem Hashem Hu Mahabi Becharora. Shein Dino El Lekros Rosha. V'lo Lodin Olav. V'imbo Chavero V'notal Charora Nikra Rosha. Chas V'sholem Im Bevatel Mecho Shechavero V'choyte Lo Eloi. V'lfi Rosin Abezdin Yir Al-Achmir Yir Al-Achmir Kasher Osa Karambam V'fi Sheish Koach V'yad Abezdin V'achmir V'fi Anira B'nei V'yosef V'din D'gomor Hashem Hashlishi Tircha. That's how he seems to underscore the Ani Amanake because of the Tircha that's involved. Ani Amanake Bersh Hazayis Mashatach to Yezim Shem Dark Yisholam Polo Gav Yesi V'yom HaGezel Gomor. And then he quotes the Rif in the Rambam. And that basically he says here, when a person looks for a house, or let's say you look for a car. I mean, a person was telling me the other day, they want to purchase a car, and the amount of Tircha they're putting into purchase a car is absolutely mind-boggling. Pashut mind-boggling. That's also, I don't know exactly how you define this terminology. You know, what's considered to be a lot of tircha, what's considered to be average tircha. It's very hard to know. But anyway, what's the borderline between two different types of tircha? Very unclear from this entire mashal. But it's clear that the mashal, that's the criteria, the element. He writes at the end, he says, Yalkein, and this is the part I was going to show you, Rabbi Munitz. Yesh lechalek ben tircha letircha. You see with the handwriting on the side I wrote? Mm-hmm. Right there, parallel to it. Yalkein tzricha manu lechalek ben tircha letircha. Yata maisa. He's making nuanced chilukim between one kind of tircha and another kind of tircha. It means the tircha, the effort has to be qualitatively different. Not simply quantitatively different. Because in Oni Amahabi B'charora, looking for a house, there's also a lot of effort required. There's also a lot of time required. The issue is not the time spent, but the quality of the tircha that's involved. That's what the Mashal writes. Ugonze, he writes here, Hakol Tolu Bigmar Psik Udomim, Elecha de Torach Begufo. Oni Amanakiv, he calls that Torach Begufo. That's a Tircho Begufo, climbing up a tree. Ein Tircho Gdelem Izois, Linya Zaysin, Shenoso Nafsho Lamoves. That's a Gemara, Gemara Babetzia. All those of Akevish, Limsuras Nafsho. That's Pasik Nchumish, the Gemara Dash with that Pasik Babetzia. He went up the tree. I mean, Rachman al-Litzan, it could be, we know what happened here. In the course of Sukkot, people went up to hang up their schach, fell down, all kinds of things that happened, including in our shul, unfortunately, and the like, and people broke vertebrae and the like. It's my wife won't let me change the light bulb. I have to call my grandchildren to change the light bulb in my house. But don't worry, I do it when she's not looking. I'm just saying that the, I'm saying Oni Amanakev, if it's just the tircha of telephone calls and talking to agents, I don't think that's the tircha of Oni Amanakev Rosh Hazayis. I don't think that would qualify according to the Marshal. There has to be two things. Tircha, number one, tircha saguf, and number two, sakona saguf. That's what he seems to lay down as the criteria. Potential sakona and physical tircha, physical exertion, that's involved in this process. So according to Yamshel Shlomo, someone asked me this question not long ago. Someone actually, one of my Talmidim in New York. So he told me he can't find a house, but he found something in my former haunting grounds. I use that term advisedly. In the Bronx. Very nice piece of property. However, the neighborhood is not so aye. So he asked me, is that considered to be in the Gedder, and I told him over this mashal, he's putting himself in a sakana zaguf. Would that be called that fit into this Gedder because the neighborhood is not so aye. That's what he asked me.
To go with
what?
If you can find 200 families to go with him, it'll be better.
Okay. I won't discuss what many people have spoken to me about in the United States. They decided to call me this week especially, but this is an old story. I'm not allowed to live in Hebron. I'm allowed to live in Ofakim. I allowed to live in Be'eri. I allowed to live in all those areas in Otef Aza. etc., etc. So I asked him, are you allowed to live in New York? Are you allowed to live in Chicago? Are you allowed to live in Detroit? There are gun battles there, Kalayam Kalaila. People are being killed left and right. The same, probably the biggest hakon over there than it is over here. The fear news night. This was a Yotzei Min HaKlal, this whole situation. Okay, but I'm just saying that how you
different. People from St. Louis, they say you go back to Israel, is it dangerous? They say, right, it's dangerous. But once they get past New York, then it's not dangerous.
That's what I said. I saw in the at the Tesis here is quoted. I wanted to get to this next issue recently, which is very relevant to me, to my life. What I mentioned at the outset, Malamdin and the like, and taking away Malamdin. Look at the bottom of Tesis on page number 7. It's here. I Xerox the Tesis for you. When we come near the Rav Abitzok, Rav Abam, you're the lawyer. I'll be talking to you momentarily. We come near the Rav Abitzok. She also the Malamdin lahaski atzma the Balabayi sheishlo Malamdin achav beiso. A Malamed is in someone's home. He's teaching someone's children. Okay? And now, another Malamed decides, well, this guy pays well. I'm going to go ahead and, shall we say, offer my services to this Balabai, to his children. He already has a Malamed, but I'm a better Malamed, obviously. So the Re says it's awesome. Let him go elsewhere. What does the dafka have to go into that person's home who already has a malamid, who's already doing the job? The Balabai says, I prefer to get some other malamid. Okay, move on the elav. I no longer want to enlist your services. I feel that maybe the other malamid is a better malamid, can have a greater impact on my children. Okay, that's already coming from the Balabais himself. Let's say the Balabais hired a Malamid.
So,
what was that?
A second Balabais.
Can go ahead. They're correct. And take that Malamid. Why? The name Olay ain't with Solni Elazet. I like that Malamid. There's a Malamed in a Yeshiva X, American Yeshiva, and he's great. He's a tremendous Malamed. And I'm another Yeshiva. I want that Malamed. And so I go after him.
It's a whole industry.
What was that?
It's a whole industry, correct.
It's an entire industry. I said, this not only applies to Malamed, it applies to Talmidim. Talmidim, where there's a lot of money involved. Thousands of dollars are involved. And you offer him less, or you woo him, you take him to a restaurant. This goes on in the American Yeshiva world. You take the Talmud, even though he's already signed the contract, paid a down payment to come to the Yeshiva. You know that this Talmud parents have, shall we say, the wherewithal to also donate to the Yeshiva besides the tuition that they're going to give and the like. So you take him out to a restaurant and you wine him and dine him. And finally you succeed in taking him away from the other Yeshiva. What's $500 that they put as a down payment? And what is the fact that they even may have signed something or have done a few other things? And this is Maisim Shevachol Yom. So now, in terms of Halacha L'Maisa, now, by the way, this is clearly, to my mind, worse than the case of Rani Amahapeh B'Harora. Because the guy already has a job. He's already working. He's already employed. Correct? By the Balabais. So now take a look on page 8. Page 8, this is taken from, I really went to look through Svarim in this matter. I'm asking to you, I think it borders on the Gedra of Yorod Lumnus Chavero. So the question, why is that not the item that's quoted over here? But look over here, I'm just reading to you on page 8 in Sifu Beis. Also the Malamed, this is quoted from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, from the Baal HaTanya. Also the Malamed, the Haskir Satsmo, the Baal HaBayis, Sheyesho Malamed, Achir Kolzman, Shamalamed, the Beiso. This is a quotation from the Tesis. Im lo shiyom Baal HaBayis, Hem Yitzoni, Lachim HaMalamed, Shili, Abul Asa, Lifal, the Baal HaBayis, Shiftirenu, Bichlos Mano. Sometimes people do that also. They'll plant rumors. This goes on. This is Maisim in my life for the last 50 years of my life. They plant rumors that the Rebbe in the Yeshiva that he's not good. He's not functioning. He's not effective. He's over bottle, etc., etc. And these rumors are not true. They're stam sheker. Ubechalzo, they do so because they're really interested in his services. And this way, the only way they could do it by undermining the Rebbe in the particular Yeshiva. Is it going to your question is a good question. Why is this not called? He says at the end here, it's not Hasagas Gvul. Ki efshe she'en yochel limso melamim b'val melamim moyel lebonim kazeh. Means if the first melamim is negotiating with the Baal Habayis over salary, and the second melamim comes in and wants a job, that's only amahabi b'chabrara. Then you will not be able to take it away from him. According to Shulchan Aruch Rav, only amahapech is either whether you want the present melamim not to be rehired, so you try to influence the Baal Habayis in that direction, or after negotiations, and before the first malami gets the job, you try to come in, that's Ani Amahapich. That he calls Ani Amahapich Harab. It's not so clear what the Gdarim are in terms of what you mentioned, Yorod Ums Chavero. And he says it's not Asogas Gvul over here, because maybe you can't find anyone as good as that person. You want to get the best malami available. On page number 9, in my Ritan Kedushin here, in this Sugya, I underlined it. He wants to know why did Tyson give the example of a malami who already has the job, as opposed to the case of a malami who's trying to get the job? Why did Tyson give that example of a Malamed already has the job, and not give the example of someone who wants to get a job and you want to come and preempt and displace him from that position? So he says a very noob shot, he says, that the Hocha Domi Lehefker, getting a job in this yeshiva is like Hefker, because it could be the salary and the Menahel and the Baal Habayis and the Talmidim are so good, you couldn't find a job like this anywhere else, so that's called Hefker. And the way there's no din of money, I'm happy with Chabrara. You have that mindset. Chidush Gadol. That's what the Marit says. You have this ideal kind of circumstance, and therefore.
Therefore, you're allowed to.
That's what he says.
Even though
he writes, Abulafi Hari, in a case where the first Malamid is trying to get the job, it's excellent in terms of salary and Talmidim. So the second Malamid can take the job away from the first Malamid. But the Re says here, if the Malamid already put in Tircha with the students and taught him how to read and taught him how to learn and whatever was teaching him for an extended period of time, you already put in the Tircha, which is like Ani Amadi, Rosh Hazayis, you already developed the Talmud and nurtured and cultivated the Talmud to a certain extent. So if the second Malamid to come now and the year is up is not only taking away the job, you're stealing all the Tircha that the first Malamid expended on this Talmud. You are basically taking away, and you are undermining all that tircha. So those who argue with the Marit will say that, but he got paid for it. So it's not like Ani Amnaki Bosh Hazayis. He received compensation, received a salary. So in effect, he didn't really get anything yet. So according to the Marit, a Malamed could develop the Talmud more, and it's even, as I said, more than Ani Amahapich. It's Ani Amnakev, and that would be also. So really what you have here is two different explanations of Tesis. Tesis and Kedushin, and then Tess. You have either the Shulchan Aruch Harav's explanation or the Marit. And all this applies if the practice is that, let's say, you negotiate a contract with the Rebbe, and the practice is to negotiate the end of the year for next year. And Rabbi Kibbeger says that's different. It's like taking his job away in the middle. Only if they're hiring him already for 1 year, you have to think it over for the next year. But here on page number 7, and this is the issue of, by the way, this goes on in the American shit world, headhunting. The same headhunting that takes place. No, but you would think in the world of the yeshivas, you know, the Chazon Ish in the Sefer Emunah B'Tochum, he has the Gemara Bava Basra, and he points out actually, Kina Sefer Tabe Chochum. When it comes to, I can set up a yeshiva, Dal Amas Samyor Yeshiva, Rav Epia. He has a yeshiva, and I set up another yeshiva next door to him. Why is that not a violation of Asaras Gvul? The Gemara says in the Bava Basra, that's the Chazon Ish. A lot of the Sefer Emunah B'Tochum is devoted to that. That's in the Gedim, Kina Sefer Tabe Chochum. That's not considered to be a violation of any of this. When it comes to Talmud Torah, Yagdil Teira V'Yadir. Let the best man win. Let the best yeshiva somehow be matzliach and teach Torah at the highest of levels, etc., etc. So here on page 7, so in the question of headhunting, where, let's say, Company B on page 7, where Company B steals a worker from Company A, Tyson talks about a yeshiva taking an excellent malamid from another yeshiva. So it says another Baal Habayis can hire him away from the first Baal Habayis. First Baal Habayis can't say, find a different malamid. Second Baal Habayis can say, I only want this malamid. I only want Rav Soloveitchik. There is no other malamid. Did you ever meet any other malamid in the world other than Rav Soloveitchik? I never met any malamid other than Rav Soloveitchik. Never saw any malamid. There's no malamid in the world. There's only one malamid. HaMalamid Torah L'Am Yisrael is the Rav. And there's no other malamid. So, and because again, on page number 2, going back to the beginning of this, by Mitzia, that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, there's no din of Ani Amahapi B'Charora. The Mechaber in Sif Beis. I didn't read this. I think you can actually read this. I think it's possible to be read on page number 2. In the Mechaber, I underlined it. Also, the Malami, the Haskir, Atzma, the Balabai, Sheshna, Malamanacha, Beveso. It's a quotation from the Tesis. Loshiyom, Balabai, Semisoni, Lakhav, and Malami. Abu, Msacha, Balabayis, Malami, Acher, Malami, Echod, Yochel, Balabayis, Acher, Liskar, also Malami, Atzmo. And the Sma said, because when it comes to Schiros, he says, Kula, Shavim, Hain, Masha, Enkan, when it comes to Hasboras, Halimud, Ein, Malamnim, Shavim. When it comes to teaching Torah, you can't. If it's an excellent Rebbe, and you don't find someone of that caliber, there are excellent Rabbeim, and there are less than excellent Rabbeim. That's a reality, whether we like it or not. So the Nesivus here on the bottom of the page is a little small, the print. He said that should depend on Rashi Rabbi Natan. We pass on Rabbi Natan. In a case where you can't find someone like this elsewhere, there's no din of ani ababim charora. And the Mechaber holds this case is muta. I just want to end with the there are two items here I wanted to show you. On page number 10, there's an Aruch HaShulchan. So here the Aruch HaShulchan, he summarizes the halacha in the halacha hey. He writes over here, Osir l'malami l'haskir asma l'balabai sheshul malami l'achar b'veso. He's just, again, citing the Tesis. In lo shiyom ha-balabayis eni b'tzol nilak v'amalami sheliyah v'in balabayis sach malami l'echod yochol balabayis sach l'isko osir malami l'asmo. And he can't say, go and find some other Malamed, because this Malamed is outstanding. That's the Svarah. If he made a Kinyan, then already that's a totally different situation. Under those circumstances. Okay, so I'm just showing you, and this also...
Any other poll is no good?
Apparently. That's the assumption over here.
He's a better marketer, so I can...
Yeah, I mean, it could be that Hilchos Chiras poll also depends if you started teaching already, and the like. And now, just to show you one more thing, if you have a chance to look at it, it'd be kedai to see it. This is on page number 11. He has a few qualifications for this, and okay, I'm not going to be... That means they sign. No, but. So, no, but I assume, again, it could very well be that that schiros was a schiros perhaps not of a Kenyan nature. Without doing a ma'aseh, Kenyan means signing a contract. By the way, many, many yeshivas don't have necessarily contractual. What? So often they don't have contracts b'chlal. There are no written contracts. Very rare. What was that?
It's to avoid those issues.
Partially
both
to avoid.
Right.
And Schnatz, that's correct. They have verbal agreements. They have come to verbal agreements. The question, what's the status of the Hengen Advar Mandikin Bamira? How exactly does that play out when it comes to all of my yeshivas, and especially people who have vetek, people who have been around for a while? They say over, okay, I'll end with this. They say over. A machlokes between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein. In some yeshivas, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a psak. He writes in the Igros Moshe a number of times. Someone who has vetek or someone who's a rebbe in yeshiva for an extended period of time, it's a din minui in the gavra. It's a chalois. He has a din monui in the gavra, and you cannot fire him.
Tenure.
He has tenure. What do you call tenure? I don't know exactly how tenure. Again, and usually. In the secular world, tenure has a lot of clothing attached to it, but let's assume there's some concept called tenure in the yeshiva, whatever that zman is, and now he has tenure. And now after a certain period of time, the person becomes ineffective. What's called ineffective in the yeshiva circle? I don't know what your definition of effective is. What was that?
Whatever those yeshiva define is not...
Oh, however he defines what's effective. The answer is, I define effectiveness in the following way. Someone who can inspire Talmidim, inspire them, motivate them, put them on fire, teach them hergulei limud, teach them critical skills in learning, develop their ability to think properly. How many rabbeim are of that ilk and remain that way, ledore doros, even when they get older? Anishoya?
I don't think so. I think
so. Rav Moshe held, you can't fire them, b'shum panim v'ayfen. It's Zadin minu in gabra, chaloshem in the gabra. Atzay kol aderes. That till the end of whenever he is in place and you can't move him. Rav Soloveitchik did not agree. Totally disagreed. He said no. That it's a function of his efficaciousness, of his effectiveness. And when he becomes no longer effective, which can sometimes happen after 20, 25, 30 years, such things happen. And they claim that because of that, certain yeshivas were not very matzliach. I don't want to mention which one. I think I already did. But anyway, so because they remained with elderly people, so Rav Soloveitchik said, what do you do? They asked, what do you do with these rabbeim? Put them in the library. Find some other function for them. So this way they won't, chas v'sholom, be in terms of their panasa, they'll still have panasa, but they will not be in the line of fire in the classroom where they can, bachmanu litzlan, harm talmidim, and certainly not inspire them to the extent that a Rebbe should. Every Rebbe has to motivate, inspire, teach them derech halimud, hergul halimud, teach them how to think properly. A Rebbe doesn't teach talmidim how to think properly. L'fiyan yuzdaiti, ikar chaser min hasefer. Have a wonderful Shabbos.